As we continue our new series this morning called, What? I invite you to take out your Bible and turn with me to Mark chapter 7. Our scripture reading this morning will be verses 14 through 23. We're continuing to talk about and explore the impact of our words and what our words mean and how powerful they can be. And I had a special moment this week when Tim and Christy Nelson, who are currently our interim worship leaders at the 9 o'clock service, they reached out to me because they had a question on some lyrics. And they were like, we're not sure about these lyrics and what they mean. And I love that because that means that they're thinking about the words that we sing and the words that we hear and the words they say and how important and powerful those are. And today, we're focusing especially on how what we hear and listen to and say affects our heart, how it sinks into our heart and becomes a part of us. So we must be careful on what we hear. Be careful what we talk about. Let's find out more. Here in Mark chapter 7, follow along as we hear the good news. Beginning in verse 14. Then Jesus called the crowd again and said, listen to me, all of you, and understand. Nothing outside of a person can enter and contaminate a person in God's sight. Rather, the things that come out of a person contaminate the person. After leaving the crowd, he entered a house where his disciples asked him about that riddle, and he said to them, don't you understand either? Don't you know that nothing from the outside that enters a person has the power to contaminate? That's because it doesn't enter into the heart, but into the stomach, and it goes out into the sewer. By saying this, Jesus declared that no food can contaminate a person in God's sight. It's what comes out of a person that contaminates someone in God's sight. He said, it's from the inside, from the human heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual sins, thefts, murders, adultery, greed, evil actions, deceit, unrestrained immorality, envy, insults, arrogance, and foolishness. All these evil things come from inside and contaminate a person in God's sight. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now tell me if you've heard these, and maybe you can even help me finish them, because I think you have. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's right. Or how about this one? I'm rubber, you're glue, whatever you say bounces off to me and sticks to you. Yes. Don't we wish this stuff were true? Oh, yeah. I mean, how many of us have ever struggled or wrestled with something or things that people have said to us? And maybe they were just trying to be helpful. Maybe they were just mad. Sad or having a bad day. Maybe they were just hurt and broken. And the reality is, one of the things I've learned is that hurt people hurt people. And at some point in time, most of us have experienced being hurt and broken. Yet Jesus came to offer us healing and wholeness, and a resolution to our hurt and brokenness. And he offers to give us another chance, a second chance, and to transform us from the inside out. It's a chance at a new heart, a heart that's not hard and broken and miserable, but a new heart full of life. And he makes a point to clarify our participation in this process. Because the things that we experience, the people that we're around, are not necessarily what contaminate us and contaminate our life and lead us into sin. They're not necessarily the things that make us sinful. And here's what I mean. Jesus and his disciples were in the marketplace. Jesus was teaching, and the disciples thought it was lunchtime. They were getting hungry. And so they got something to eat. And they began to eat, and they didn't wash their hands before they ate. Now, personally, I think that's a little gross. However, the religious leaders saw this, and they complained to Jesus. Not because they thought it was gross, because instead they wanted to know why Jesus' disciples weren't ritually purifying themselves. See, the problem was they had these hyper-purity expectations that weren't really part of God's law. It was part of the Pharisees' man-made rules to kind of prevent someone from possibly breaking the law. It's kind of to help keep people from being tempted. They created all these extra laws and rules on top of God's laws and rules in the hopes that somebody may not fall into sin. Kind of that slippery slope argument. Yet they treated all this like it was the law. And they looked down on those who didn't agree with their interpretations. In other words, they were trying to shame the disciples. And this is where Jesus takes issue with their hypocritical expectations. And here's why. Because the Pharisees were these holy religious leaders, and they wanted you to know they were holier than thou, and they did all of these ritualistic washings, and they put on this elaborate performance and made a grand show to demonstrate just how holy and just how ritually pure they were. Yet it was mostly superficial, because they were incredibly cruel to people. They shamed people. And they made life difficult for anyone who wasn't just like them. And while their outside looked all prim and proper and clean, their heart wasn't truly clean or pure at all. We've all known somebody like this. Perhaps there's been times when we've been like this. So Jesus called him out. And then he offers an important lesson to everyone, to all of them, and to us, and to anyone who's willing to listen. That it's not what's on the outside that makes you clean or dirty. It's what's on the inside. It's what lives in your heart. Because from out of your heart come your words, your actions, your ability to share God's love, or to sin and to hurt yourself or someone else. And we need to ask ourselves, what's in our heart? Because from out of our heart comes our power to control our tongue. From the overflow of our heart, we can offer words, creative words that speak life and light, or destructive words of darkness and death. When we think about Jesus, when we think about God, God is love. So when God spoke out of God's heart and created life and light and beauty and you in his image. What do we speak? How do we speak into those around us? What do we speak about ourselves? More importantly, how do we speak life into ourselves? See, I've learned that whatever it is that we meditate on, and Scripture teaches us, whatever it is that we meditate on, whatever it is we think about, these are the words that we are speaking to ourselves. These are the things that impact us, that we let into our heart. And see, the Pharisees, they focused on the technical aspects of the law. They recited the law. They studied the law. Yet they ignored the compassion and the humanity of the prophets. And in contrast, Jesus fulfilled both the law and the prophets. There's a children's song that kind of drives us home for us. Terry kind of gave you a preview. It goes like this. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Lord up above is looking down with love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. It talks about ears, what you hear, mouth, what you say, hands, what you do, feet, where you go. All of these things to be careful with. And our struggle, the struggle is real, and our struggle comes from the things that we allow into our hearts, the things that we watch, the things that we listen to, the things that we read, the things that we think about, the things that we meditate on, the things that we pray over, the things that we get obsessed on. All these things, they go into our head and into our heart, and they consume our minds and our hearts. And we must be careful. We must learn to discern what we need to let in. In Romans 12 and Ephesians 4, Scripture encourages us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That the Holy Spirit helps us to renew our minds from the things that tear us down and fills us with good things. So how do we fill our hearts with good things, with the creative powers of life and love and joy? We immerse ourselves in the gospel, in the good news of God's love and presence. Colossians 3:12 through 15 says, therefore, as God's choice, meaning you're God's chosen, holy and loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Be tolerant with each other. And if someone has a complaint against anyone, forgive each other. Verse 15, the peace of Christ must control your hearts, a peace into which you were called in one body, and be thankful people. In James 3, 17 and 18, it says, what of the wisdom from above? God's wisdom. First, it is pure, and then peaceful, gentle, obedient, filled with mercy and good actions, fair and genuine. Those who make peace sow the seeds of justice by their peaceful acts. So let's immerse ourselves in creative words and creative actions that give life and surround ourselves in an environment that nurtures the fruits of the Spirit and that enables us to grow, that enables our hearts to grow full of compassion and kindness and thankfulness. Here's the thing, I cannot emphasize this enough. This begins with us at home, with our families. Because our children and our grandchildren, they have little control over what they hear and what they see and what they read. Everything is put in front of them or provided for them, and all they know is what we give them or what our family tells them. And most of the time, their ideas and their opinions are direct reflections of what they've heard at home. And let me tell you, kids are pretty honest. And they're really good at repeating what they've heard at home. So we need to be careful what we share with them. Now, this doesn't mean that we over-shelter our children. And we need to be real with them. We need to allow them to learn and to grow and to explore and even to fail. Yet we need to do so with grace and compassion and with empathy. And then help build them up and encourage them, reminding them that no matter what, that they're loved and that God is with them, to help strengthen them and develop the confidence in them that when they're challenged, that they have the strength to stand on their own or to push through and to rely upon God to lift themselves up. Because the world is generous enough with all of its insults and how it tears people down. So let's be different. Let's be generous with our compliments and with building people up. Now, as adults, we have control over what we hear and what we watch and what we see and what we read. Yet our struggle is with discernment, because a lot of times we really don't discern what it is that we're listening to or paying attention to. Sometimes we have to weed through the trash to get to the good stuff. You know, Scripture tells us to separate the wheat from the chaff, the good stuff from the trash. But we need to do better. And here's how we can do better. I'm going to give you some examples, but you're probably not going to like them. For every hour that we spend listening to the news or talk radio or our favorite political commentary, we need to spend an equal amount of time in the Word, reading and studying Scripture. Now, someone might say, but Pastor Daniel, I really love my political talk shows. That's a lot of time. Yes, it is. You're right. It is a lot of time. But let me ask you, how's your attitude about the world around you? We need to balance it out. And not in favor of the world, but in favor of the Word. We need to spend our time reading God's Word and learning and impressing upon ourselves how Jesus came to offer us life abundantly. I want to throw something out there to you. If you don't have a Bible, come see me right after service. We have somebody in our church who just bought a whole bunch of Bibles so that we could give them away to those who need one. And if you need one, come see me. I've got one for you. We need to think about and discern what we let in, what we let into our hearts. You know, for me, it was something I did years ago. Is I went through a period where, you know, I love music, but I went through a period where I had to pay more attention to what I was listening to. And I had to get rid of a lot of tapes and albums and CDs and things like that, just kind of, you know, putting a date on this when this happened. But I gave hundreds of these things away, because I realized how they were leading me to think, how I was thinking about women in a particular way, or how they would stir me up and make me angry, or how they made me want to fight or just made me mad or sad. So I had to give it all away so that I could focus on listening to music that lifted me up, that reminded me of who God is and whose I am. And I'm not saying that you should do that, but I am encouraging you to think about what you meditate on and what you allow into your heart. And as we have new Christians or new people come into the area, some of our sisters and brothers, the only things they know about us or about our church or about our area is what they hear from the Christian community or from our church or from us. And how do we talk about ourselves? How do we share the good news and create opportunities for people to experience God's love and assurance and to grow in their faith? For example, when we talk about our own church, we have an amazing church. We have this awesome staff team that is incredibly gifted at everything they do. That they impact this community and help lead you and help change lives, and I'm so proud of them. And then we have this tried and true leadership committees that lead our different ministries and help us impact the community and change lives and share the gospel. And I'm delighted about it. I'm blown away by how we lead this community with the gospel. And that's not all. The people, you. We have the most fantastic community of loving, caring, and generous people who come together and lift up God's name and worship together. And I love the people here. I love you, and I love worshiping and serving with you as we all grow together. And we live in an area that's amazing. I told Fran that when we moved here that I could feel myself relaxing already. It's a sort of a a sort of paradise here on earth. And there's people who are constantly moving here. Moving here because it's such a wonderful community, because they want to live in a place that is so beautiful and relaxing and has such a strong faith community. But ironically, sometimes I hear people say and ask, who would want to come and live here or work here or do youth and children's ministry here? The better question is, who wouldn't? It's great. Here's another example. I talked about Veritas in the announcements, and today being the last day to sign up for Veritas, our youth are going to have this opportunity to spend time with thousands of other youth at a massive youth retreat. They're going to worship with some amazing, top-notch Christian artists and hear some amazing and uplifting messages that are geared towards teens that will impact their heart and remind them of who they are and whose they are. And they're going to do a lot of other fun stuff and grow in their faith. And it's always exciting when they come back from this and how they're on fire and how they've been inspired and revived. And then I'm always blown away when a youth comes back and has had a change, a conversion experience, where their heart's been changed and they've decided to get rid of things that were tempting them into doing drugs or drinking or cutting themselves or self-harm. Several times I've had teenagers come to me bringing me a bag of stuff saying, I need you to get rid of this for me. These are the things that were causing me problems. Or they would tell me how they threw everything away that was leading them down a darker path. And they've changed their life. And they're on fire for God. Finally, one of my mentors says that there's 12 inches between life and death. And it's the distance from your head to your heart. It took me a while to really understand what he meant by that. But when I got it, I realized that we need to get out of our head and more into the heart of Jesus. And what I mean by that is that we're all broken people. In some way or another, we all wrestle with our own internal demons and monsters. But what gives us hope is the reality of Jesus Christ in our lives. What gives us strength to overcome these internal monsters is a seed of God that the love of God has planted inside of us. That we're often powerless to do anything on our own or do anything about it on our own, yet through God, through Christ, we have the strength to overcome anything that we face. That when we allow God's grace to cover us and to fill us and to wash us from the inside out, then the healing power of the Holy Spirit takes hold in our life. That God's Spirit grows that seed of God's love in us. That grows our spirit and in our heart so that it takes root and it begins to blossom and bloom inside of us, producing the fruit of the Spirit, producing things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I'm telling you, there are no laws or rules in all of creation against any of that. We need more of them. The world needs more of them. And when we exhibit them, they are signs of the kingdom of heaven. So let's talk ourselves up. Let's remember and think about the good things and lift ourselves up, sharing what God is doing in us and with us and through us. Because we are on a mission to make life better and to make you better at life through Jesus Christ. And the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart will make all the difference. Amen.